With your permission, Lord, I speak in your presence. These days, somebody was asking, well, what are the priests doing these days? Yeah. And I have to say, actually, most of my days are very, very busy, to tell you the truth, in a very different way. More solitary, but still quite busy. Thanks be to God. But one of the things I've been doing is watching webinars from various groups, sharing, practices or providing a forum to talk about these days and the implications of them for the church, throughout our country, essentially, there are no publicly celebrated masses. Actually, in some parts of the country, the lockdown orders about the churches are more extreme than they are here. Some places, the churches aren't open or aren't open much, or confessions aren't able, which, thanks be to God, we're able to have the church here open all day, every day, from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening. We have confessions every day from 5 to 6, and on Saturdays from 9 to 11. But it really does, create a very strange way to be living as the church. Tonight it's wonderful to know that you're out there somewhere. You can see me. I can't see you. I just see my phone sitting out there. But I know you're there. By the way, I don't know if the sound is good enough that you can hear the rain, but it must be raining very hard. Although, I have to say this is a very interesting time, because I'm the only person actually here in the church. Of course, the Lord Jesus is here. That's what matters. But in any case, one of these webinars, very well done, very full of good advice and sharing, sort of good practices and experience that people have picked up on the run, sort of like we have. And the leader of this particular webinar said, was really encouraging, especially the pastors of churches, said, realize that your parish, when we, come through this period of time, it's going to be in a worse situation than it was before we entered this, or in a better one, but it won't be the same. And which one is it going to be? Well, thank you. Is that a little bit of pressure or not? But no, that's certainly not the way that he was intending it. But I have to say that a little bit of sense of pressure has kind of come off of me, because I really do believe that. I really do believe that among whatever else is going on in this time, there's a great deal of purification going on. And so there's a great opportunity here, as there always is by the grace of God, to respond to God's grace and, frankly, to be in a better place. And I so want for St. Rose of Lima Parish to be in a better place, spiritually, and as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as active disciples, as a community of prayer, as people who are really working together, trying to be that place of encounter with Jesus Christ in his fullness in this community. And I personally think that really is going to happen. I think it's already happening, actually. But I have felt a little, unease about that. Let me read to you from, this is the beginning of chapter 5 of St. Matthew's Gospel, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, The Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 of St. Matthew's Gospel. And it's sort of a constitution of the Christian life, of how we're really called upon to live as Christians. And of course, it begins with this passage. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." That, of course, is the Beatitudes. And tonight I'd like to, in sort of reflecting some today on that sense of a little bit of unease that I've been experiencing, reflecting on that, I came to the Beatitudes, especially the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, it's interesting in St. Luke's rendition of the Beatitudes, which the Lord, you know, gave it a, you know, probably gave similar sort of reflection in different circumstances, but it's a little more direct. It's blessed are the poor, period. That's a little easier to understand what that means. And that is a great consolation in itself. But St. Matthew records in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord teaching, blessed are the poor in spirit. And there's been a lot of prayer and speculation and writing and that sort of thing about what that really means. And one of the best things that at least made the biggest impact on me in trying to, what does it mean to have poverty of spirit? And I mean, this particular reflection was that it's not so much about having few things. That might be poverty, period. But poverty of spirit comes from having few wants, or maybe from having only one want. And I realize today that that's what I was suffering from, a lack of poverty of spirit. I was having too many wants. And actually, anything beyond one particular want is too many. Even though this want that I had was a holy want. You know, my desire to see St. Rose Parish really flourish and really, for example, start to live out a lot of those other Beatitudes and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, maybe more perfectly than we have up to now. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Those are good things. And yet, the problem was, it was my desire. It was mine. And the one desire that I've referred to that we can have, that one want that we can have and still be poor in spirit, is to want what God wants. And only what God wants, and in the way God wants it, and in the way that God wants to give it. That's poverty of spirit. Having that soul desire. And no wonder that I had lost my peace, because I was wanting something very good, but not subject to God's will. And so I think what I'm going to try to do, I ask you to pray for me about this, because it's for all of us, you know, about where our parish is going. Is to say, Lord, I want to forget about what I want. And I just want to live in the present moment and try to recognize in that moment what it is that you want, and to do that. I have to say that has served me, and I think probably many of us, well in these days. A lot of the days I've been going through lately, that's about all I've been, because I don't even know what to want in some of these days. I'm talking about watching this webinar and stuff like that. You know, this is such a new situation that we are in. Sometimes it's even, I don't even know what I want, to tell you the truth. And so in that situation, sometimes it is easier than to just surrender to God and to let Him do it. And coming to that realization, actually, frankly, preparing for this meditation tonight has restored my peace. And so what I really want to do is to, when I start going out into the future, other than the things that, you know, to some extent, we do need to do that, you know, those these practical, prudent things we need to do and make arrangement for, but aren't really things that cause worry or anxiety, it's just to turn away from that. You know, early on in this experience of the pandemic and that sort of thing, I realized I've got to stop watching and or reading the news, except to a very, very limited extent, maybe just to sort of have an idea what's going on, especially the local news. I think it's kind of important maybe to know a little bit what's going on right here, but even then on a very limited basis, because I found myself being drawn in into all this gloom and doom and being drawn in to all of this, you know, the sort of bickering that seems to be going on too. And I just thought, forget that. Who's got time for that? And it's been, you know, such a blessing. And I've been playing that game with myself about a lot of other things. As soon as I discover something else that's like not doing me any good, I thought, okay, I'm going to be the ostrich with my head in the sand. Just, I don't need that. I don't need to know about that. I don't need to whatever. And that's what I'm going to do about this. Not in a foolish way, I don't think, but just I'm not going out there anymore. I want what God wants, and I want it the way that He wants to give it, and I want it, just everything about it, His way. A lot of that, when it comes to the life of a parish, the actual content of that isn't, you know, rocket science, really. But maybe some of the methods or the timing and that sort of thing, the priorities are up to things. And I was getting way out there. And I've decided I'm going to wait on the Lord. Let Him show me, let Him show us where He wants us to be. To try to really embrace this moment, which is almost perfect for growing in poverty of spirit. And all the other Beatitudes as well, actually. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The promise associated with poverty of spirit is literally out of this world. It is a supernatural promise. It has to do with the kingdom of heaven and not this world. And so that's a good reminder as well. You know, to have my heart set on the kingdom of heaven. For Christ and his kingdom and his holy name and his holy word, to desire that above all things. And that's how we come to experience the kingdom of heaven, even here and now, to have a glimpse, a foretaste of the messianic banquet, of what heaven will be. There's a beautiful prayer that I find myself going to and counseling others to by St. Teresa of Avila. It begins in Spanish, "Nada te turbe." Let nothing disturb you. All things are passing. Oh boy, isn't that true? And God alone suffices. And so again, to accept this as a time of purification, a letting go of my attachment to many things, many desires, many wants, and most especially the want for my own wants, even if they're good, like the one I was sort of attached to, still am attached to, I'm sure. To be purified of that. To let this be a moment of conversion, a moment of change. You know, I've heard some people say, and I don't want to argue with it about it, because I mean, I understand what they're saying, and I don't want to put too much into it, but saying like, I want things to go back to the way they were. Well, you know, I don't. Except if that's what God wants. Wait, yes, Lord, thanks for that correction. I want us to move on this pilgrimage that we are on to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm pretty sure that's not where we were. Although, yes, we could experience elements of the kingdom of heaven then. But that was not the kingdom of heaven in its fulfillment. And so I don't want to go back there. I want to keep moving on. And moving on, even maybe if it's into a strange land, one that isn't familiar. Maybe even one that has many challenges, maybe sufferings, sorrows. But if that is where the Lord is leading me, if that is where the Lord is leading us, that is where I want to go. Because those who have that desire, that poverty of spirit, to them the kingdom of heaven belongs. And that's a good holy desire. You can keep that one. And so I think today, as always, let us entrust ourselves and look to the Blessed Virgin Mary as our model in poverty of spirit. You know, the words that she said at the Annunciation, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," were true of that moment, that amazing moment of allowing for the incarnation to come about. But it was true of every single other moment of her life. Lord, I want what you want. Be it done unto me according to thy word, to your word, in everything. And we see that in every moment of her life. Maybe the hardest thing she ever heard from her son and was asked by God was actually at the cross. When Jesus said to her about John, "Behold your son." Oh my goodness. In a sense, how hard that must have been for her to accept that word. And yet she did, like she did everything else that God asked of her, with trust and, you know, Never getting too far ahead of the game. As it says a couple of places in the scriptures, when things would happen, that she pondered these things in her heart. She took them in, maybe not totally recognizing or understanding what God was doing, but accepting them and then pondering them in her heart, in that beautiful, immaculate heart. I think these days have provided a lot for us to ponder. I think that's maybe what I was doing a little bit, and you know, with these webinars, and that's like pondering our parish. And yet, I need to always do that with her spirit that says, first and foremost, your will, Lord, your will, not mine. And pondering them in that light, always in that light. And so that gave me today, again, this little taste of heaven, that little taste of peace when I had been agitated. And the promise of its fulfillment someday. And I know that she will accompany me and pray for us now and at the hour of our death, which is in some senses a moment, again, another moment on that journey, a moment toward the ultimate fulfillment.